tell me a little bit about Roslyn Chapel again. Let's go back. How was it established? What was its purpose?
Well, that's one of the big questions today, George, what exactly its purpose was. We know that it was a mausoleum for Sinclairs, and it's believed to be 20 Sinclairs entombed in Roslyn Chapel in full knighted armor. However, there is an interesting legend about Roslyn that says that after the Templars were in the Holy Land for 9 years digging around Solomon's Temple, they left the Holy Land, and they left with five caskets or five big boxes and made their way up into Europe. Ultimately, they ended up in Scotland in Kilwinning, which is Mother Grand Lodge of Scottish Freemasonry. And there the boxes sat for a number of years until they were taken to Roslyn Castle, where the Sinclairs were living at that time. And then there was a big fire in Roslyn Castle. Those big boxes, however, were taken out just in time, saved, and just right after that, the beginning of the building of Roslyn Chapel happened. So it's believed that one of the main reasons Roslyn Chapel was built was to house those five boxes. So we know it's a mausoleum, and we know that it holds a lot of sacred relics, sacred treasures, everything from the head of John the Baptist, the Ark of the Covenant, to the Cup of Christ has been said to exist there in the crypt underneath Roslyn Chapel. And you can get a lot of things in there, George, because if you stand in Roslyn Chapel today and you look up at the roof, it's 44 feet above you. Well, the Roslyn Chapel goes down just as far below. It goes down 44 feet. And that's about four stories of space that you can essentially put treasures and scrolls. So there's essentially could be a lot of things there, and actually ground scans have revealed that there is a lot of things down there.
Well, why can't they get down there to look, Mark?
Well, that's the difficulty, is because getting permission to take up the tiles of the floor is what's really the problem. The Erskines, and not the Sinclair clan, are the ones that are in charge of Roslyn Chapel today, and they're not particularly interested in going underneath and getting what's in the crypt, mainly because they don't have that much invested in it. It's really the Sinclair history. It's not theirs. The Sinclairs lost the rights to Roslyn Chapel about five generations back. And
well, who owns it then? This other family?
Well, it's the Erskine clan. Peter Sinclair Erskine, he's the Earl of Roslyn today. And
what do you think it's worth if somebody were to make them an offer and just say, hey, we want to buy this place?
It's worth a ton today, George. I was just talking to Niven Sinclair. I was in the U.K. for much of the summer, and he told me, he said, boy, if I could have just bought the place a few years back, I could have got it for a drop in the bucket, but now it's going to cost millions. The reason being because of the popularity of certain Freemasonry books like the Hiram Key, and most recently, of course, it's the Da Vinci Code. So everyone's flocking there, and of course they're paying a top dollar to see it. And you might have heard that they filmed the Da Vinci Code and rented the place for a few days and paid £100,000, about almost $200,000 for 3 days of rent. And so it's obviously worth a lot of money right now.
So, but you're saying the Ark of the Covenant, the head of John the Baptist, maybe the Holy Grail, that those are just among the items that could be buried down there or in that chamber?
That's right. That's right. There's scrolls. It's believed there are scrolls. In fact, when they were bringing those five boxes out of the Holy Land, as they were bringing them through Europe, they stopped in Omer, which is the hometown of Geoffrey Omer. He was one of the original nine knights, and Lambert Omer, he was a priest in that town. He actually copied over one of those scrolls, and you can see that copy in one of the museums in Ghent, Belgium today. It's called the Heavenly Jerusalem, and it has all kinds of Masonic symbolism as well as Johannite symbolism. Johannite symbolism, or Johannite heresy, basically says that there was a tradition that emanated or descended from John the Baptist and John the Apostle, and that John the Apostle was one, if not the true successor to Jesus. So you see this symbology all throughout this copy. Well, the writers of the Hiram Key believe that some of the scrolls were Essene scrolls that the Templars took out of the Holy Land, and they did pick a lot of Masonic rites that eventually became part of Freemasonry today.
Or who knows what other things are in those scrolls, because as we well know, the Essenes wrote the Dead Sea Scrolls. What if this is just a continuation of those scrolls?
That could be absolutely right. Some people think it's the scrolls that confirm the marriage between Jesus and Mary. Some of the scrolls confirm the Holy Grail lineage, the Johannite lineage of the Templars were initiated into, that emanated from John the Baptist and John the Apostle. So it's potential that it could be all kinds of scrolls. It's actually conclusive that there was a black Madonna, or is a black Madonna down there, because the original altar had a big black Madonna in it. You see, Roslyn Chapel was built to, one reason it was built is to be a monument to the goddess and the goddess tradition. And Gnosticism comes out of the goddess tradition, which is one reason that our order is very connected to Roslyn Chapel and the Sinclairs. The Sinclairs, right from the beginning, have been the preservers of the Gnostic tradition.
But I'll tell you what I don't understand, though, Mark. If I owned a place like this family owns Roslyn Chapel, and if I knew that there was a possible chamber underneath that would be easy to have some access to, and you could get in there with the right kind of equipment that could have some of the greatest mysteries of mankind, I'd be down there in a heartbeat. I don't understand why they're holding back. There's got to be another reason here.
Well, you could be absolutely right. The Sinclairs I've talked to think that it's just not in the interest of Peter Sinclair Erskine to do it. However, he could be being influenced by some silent partners, or perhaps the church itself, knowing that what is down there could have a very detrimental effect on them. Certainly,
so I was going to say, what do you think the ramifications are if the Ark of the Covenant is there, the head of John the Baptist, some of the Essene scrolls? Well, I mean, what's the downside then?
Well, it has the effect of blowing the roof off the Catholic Church, but we think that that's inevitable anyway. We believe, according to the prophecy of Malachi.
Well, how would it do that, though? How would it blow the lid off the Catholic
Church? Well, first of all, if there's Johannite scrolls that confirm the Johannite lineage, it would say, one, that John the Apostle and not St. Peter was the true successor of Jesus. And second, it would say that Jesus is part of a very long lineage of masters who were all great enlightened beings. He wasn't the one only Son of God, but he was one of many.